This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I always try to be fair, listen to both sides of an argument before rendering my opinion, but in this particular case, what you're going to have to convince me as to why you're not a horrific monster.
Well,
based on the video that was posted from your house yesterday. Welcome back.
We've got the video evidence here.
The Woods and Hannah have cameras all around their home for security, safety, entertainment. I'm not sure exactly what those cameras have done for you, but they've caught just so many different moments of mishaps around your house. There was the time that you fell out of a hammock and, I mean, could have died hitting your... That was Woods' head.
Can you guys hear me? There it is.
That was Woods' head.
Yeah, I almost severed my brain stem falling out of a hammock. Yeah, I know I've got a lot of amusement about that.
That was your head hitting the corner of your deck?
Of the deck, yeah.
Ah. Oh.
Yep. I mean, it was gnarly. It was gnarly. Yeah, we have them because we, you know, it just makes sense. We got two small kids at home. There's you know, people come to try to, like, break in your car and stuff. I don't think it really matters where you live anymore. Like, you gotta watch your back a little bit. So, we have them all over the house for when we have babysitters. We have them, outside the house to monitor what happens outside the home. Pretty standard stuff, but occasionally it does catch the little bit of gold, as it did yesterday.
So, you were, sitting out in your, like, right on the sidewalk in front of your house in your cul-de-sac. I imagine the kids were playing out in the, looks like one of them's on a bike maybe out there.
Yeah, Bo got a new bike yesterday, and a big boy bike, and he was riding it around, and Taylor was riding around. They're just having a grand old time, and the missus and I just sitting out in right in front of the driveway, just enjoying life.
Now, it looks like you're sitting maybe one leg over the other, but sitting upright. Hannah looks like she's kind of lounging back in a camping chair, like a fold-up chair.
Like a folding camping chair.
But she's lounging back, like, feet over one of the armrests.
Something like that, yeah.
And there she goes.
Just went toppling over backwards the chair. So that's awful, but it's happened to all of us. You're leaning wrong. It's a somewhat, you know, unstable chair, and you go down. What is notable, though, is your instant reaction to your wife, who is, you know, 2 feet away from you, collapsing backwards onto the driveway, not onto the grass.
One,
onto the driveway.
Two seconds, and you have the phone out.
You quickly go to your phone. It's probably already there, but you quickly grab it. You can see Woods going to the camera, obviously.
She's rolling around in pain.
And you are documenting this, and then you hop up, and then you pick up the chair.
Yes.
And she's now on her knee, hands and knees.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm waiting on your question.
Glad there's audio as well on your cameras.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, was she okay? She's okay, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly have known that in the moment, that she was okay.
So what you can't see in the video is me sitting next to her. When I hear that noise, if you would again, Paulie.
Okay. Dad, he said the
So I glance over at her, and my immediate thought, my spirit kind of left my body, and it wasn't fear that she was hurt. I looked down. I saw the smile on her face, right? Nothing excites this woman more than when people get injured. And I'm talking her own children, her husband, anyone, anyone. If she sees somebody get hurt, her natural reaction is belly laugh.
So, like, America's Funniest Videos when they had the groin shots. That's peak.
Oh, yeah.
Peak comedy for Hannah.
I'm absolutely on Hannah's side with this. I have watched YouTube videos of, like, search people falling, slipping on ice and falling down or something.
Falling down. It for whatever reason, it is her. It kills her. And I looked over and I saw her smiling. So that's when I, like Doc Holliday, went into the, I went across,
quick
you'll
draw.
See me go across my body and pull it out. And I was like, before I help her, I have to get this because, again, she has posted so many acts of my feebleness online that I just thought, she's going to get herself up and dust herself off. I have to get this shot. Now, what I forgot was there's a camera bearing down right on us. So I had forgotten that, but I knew that I had one here. I reached over, I pulled it out, boom, got the picture, stood up. And by that time she was laughing and I died in the street. I did. I picked the chair up first to kind of mostly to get it out of the way. But I also wanted to make sure that it was okay and didn't break, because that would have been a funnier story, because she's gotten me breaking chairs and stuff before, too, being a little portly. And so I looked at her, and I started dying laughing. I could not help myself. She says in the chat she was crying. She was not crying. She was laughing, crying. She was not hurt. And then I asked her this morning, how are you feeling? She said, I wish that there was a bruise to document it, but there's not. So she was fine. It was incredible.
And here is the picture that you took on your quick draw phone if you're in our YouTube stream.
Oh, my God.
With her.
It was
prostrate on the driveway.
Yeah.
In her chair.
She had a big smile on her face.
I'm on Team Ben and Hannah here, unfortunately for you, Woods. But you going for the chair first is what gets me.
Yeah.
You pick up the chair and prop the chair back up first while Hannah remains lying on the concrete.
Yeah, like I said, man, the reach for the phone, it was like instinct. Then you always see those. You see those, some like videos will come out and people are like, hey, why didn't they help? And why didn't they run to this person's aid or whatever? And I'm like, well, because they were filming it. And I think that's just, it's just become part of like who I am and who we are as a culture. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but when I saw her down like that, I thought to myself in an instant, instinct took over. And I said, I have to get this shot. I was like a reporter, Ben, or a photographer, like, you know, Mickey Mantle's hitting his 500th home run. I have to get this shot here. I cannot miss it. And that's how I felt.
So I'll have to admit, when I came across the video, I had not heard from you, so I didn't know it existed, and I didn't see that it was you who posted. I just saw the video and assumed, oh, this is one of those funny videos being retweeted into my stream. And my first thought is, oh, that's like a husband. He's going to get absolutely killed for pulling his phone out. And then I realized, wait, I kind of recognize that driveway and that house. And I looked and I go, oh, this is Woods and Hannah. I didn't even realize that it was you guys that had posted that video. So, but Hannah's okay.
She's great. She's fantastic and no bruising or really any mark. You'd really never know what happened. But yeah, the feeble behavior. I mean, maybe it's sexually transmitted. I don't know. I have no idea because now she's got the feeble behavior. So it was fantastic. It was fantastic. The chair's fine, everybody. Don't worry
good.
About
okay.
the chair. The chair is
it's what
good.
We were all concerned about.
It's a great chair, and she's doing good. But yeah, man, honestly, when she hit the ground, and I looked over, and I saw her smiling. That's when I went, all right, I can get this shot. She did not win.
Nina,
you can hear her laugh when she
kind of
the ground.
You can actually. We need a contestant for Take on Woods, so call now.
Question.
Yeah.
How are we going to do this?
Oh,
because I can't. see you.
We'll text you when.
I'll text you.
Just take off your headset. Go away.
I'm going to close the chat. I want to make sure this is on the up and up.
And then just walk away. And then we'll text you when it's time to come back in. So take your phone. Okay. And we will text you back. Call now, 833-288-0973.
I don't have a caller yet. Okay.
Yeah,
see you later.
That's all right. When people are calling in. I think it's been a while since Hannah has had an entry in our tournament of drops. But I think that one might at least I could see that being like a four seed somewhere kind of in the middle of the pack for next year's tournament of drops. So keep that one on file just in case.
You are bracketology Ben, so what you say goes when it comes to the tournament of drops. I will file that away right now.
All right, seems like we got a contestant on the line, so let's get to it. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, we got Guy, who is trying to sneak in here at the end of the month here in May. Good morning, Guy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Ben. How are you guys doing?
Good to talk to you, as always. Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. And, of course, wrapping up our month, playing for the two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and the tickets to Warrant on June 22nd. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Here are the last category choices for the month of May, Guy. We've got Say Cheese. We've got It's Not False. And both of those you just kind of have to figure out as you go. And then we have Ooh, I Know This One, and that one will be bands with double O's in their name. So Say Cheese, It's Not False, or Ooh, I Know This One.
Let's try Say Cheese.
Say Cheese. Okay. You're just going to have to figure this one out, kind of like mystery category style as we go. But the category is called Say Cheese. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. The first question is our two-second song. Paulie will play a little bit of music. You need to give me the title of the song and the artist to score that point. If your score beats or ties Woods, we'll put you into the drawing for the trip to Las Vegas. I know you know how it works. Guy, are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Paulie, give you a second here to cue up our song. All right, he is ready to go. Again, the category is called Say Cheese. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Guy. Let's take on Woods.
Photographed by Def Leppard.
Correct. MTV had to drastically censor the video for which 1981 first top 10 hit for Duran Duran due to an abundance of female nudity.
Rio.
Incorrect. Kid Rock's highest charting hit is which 2002 duet with Sheryl Crow?
Picture of you or something like that?
Picture is good. You've got it. The sounds of a clicking camera can be heard early in which 1981 follow-up to Centerfold by Jay Giles Band.
Free frame.
Correct. Which 1973 Paul Simon hit is named after a brand of reversal film used to make slides for projectors? What 1973 Paul Simon hit is named after a brand of reversal film used to make slides for projectors? Okay. Time is up. That's okay. You got three right in a tough category. So if you figured it out there, text Woods that he needs to come back. Say Cheese, everything about pictures and photographies. Photograph, Girls on Film was the Duran Duran hit. Picture, Freeze Frame, and Kodachrome is the name of the Paul Simon song. All right, Woods is putting back his headphones on. You didn't hear any of that, right, Woodsy?
I couldn't over two kids screaming.
Of course. All right, so we've got Guy's scores locked in. Going to put the two-second song back, ready to go. 60 seconds on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Guy.
That's Photographed by Def Leppard.
That is correct. MTV had to drastically censor the video for which 1981 first top 10 hit for Duran Duran due to an abundance of female nudity.
I'll pass.
Kid Rock's highest charting hit is which 2002 duet with Sheryl Crow?
Picture.
Correct. The sounds of a clicking camera can be heard early in which 1981 follow-up to Centerfold by Jay Giles Band.
Pass.
Which 1973 Paul Simon hit is named after a brand of reversal film used to make slides for projectors?
Oh, crap. Go back to the
second. MTV had to drastically censor the video for which 19...
Girls on Film.
Correct. The sounds of a clicking camera can be heard early in which 1981 follow-up to Centerfold by Jay Giles Band.
Oh, my God. What's his follow-up? Next.
Which 1973 Paul Simon hit is named after a brand of reversal film used to make slides for projectors?
I don't know. I'm out.
No. All right, it's a 3-3 tie, which means, you sneak in at the end of the month.
So good, too.
Whew. Very good. So all those questions, it was called Say Cheese, Photograph, Girls on Film, Picture, Freeze Frame.
Freeze Frame.
I thought you could get that one. And Kodachrome is the last one. That was a tough one on our fifth question. But, Guy, hang on the line. You have qualified for the trip to Las Vegas in today's category, Say Cheese, on Take on Woods.
Whew, man. I when I heard it was Guy, I instantly got panicked. It was like facing Mason Miller, you know? And it's like, oh, we saw Mason Miller blew a save yesterday. I guess it actually happens.
Good.
I thought I was going to get smoked.
Your strategy is getting better, though, because you quickly passed to try to determine kind of the theme and the category before going back. And it helped you with the Girls on Film later on when you went back to it. So you are getting clever on your strategy on this game.
Thank you, sir. I'll take a tie after a week off.
And Guy, I'm glad Guy gets a chance to qualify as well.
For our next giveaway, we can do my three-year-old to the fourth caller, 833-288-0973.
And
he's
Taylor.
All yours. Yeah, we'll bring him over.
Win a four-pack of tickets and Taylor.
Taylor Woods coming up next on the show. Just call now and he's all yours.
All right, we've got Don't Do This coming up next, including a new hit by a major NFL tight end.
Well, you know, people react to breakups differently. And this man decided to express himself in song, and we absolutely have to play it. I'm sorry.
That's coming up next after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
I'm going to start Don't Do This with somewhat of a self-own here. Don't Do This brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today, thekrafttaco.com. So yesterday, we actually didn't have a Throwback Thursday, Woods, but this is very timely for yes. both Don't Do This and Throwback Thursday. And our next guest,
man, I had forgotten all
who is going
this.
To be Brock Ungerich, the head coach of the USD baseball team. They're playing in the NCAA regional today against Oregon. Chance to get to the College World Series. And 2 years ago, today, in fact, Paulie tells me, was our first time chatting with Brock Ungerich.
No. We had him on a day or two after this moment.
Okay, so 2 years ago today.
But we were probably talking about him.
I had done a segment on Coach's team, but he was a first-year coach, and I apparently did not know how to pronounce his last name. It's spelled U-N-G-R-I-C-H-T.
Yes.
And I called him Brock Ungerich.
Yes.
And that sparked this voicemail that we got 2 years ago today from Uncle
Gary.
Gary.
Good evening. This is Gary Ungerich. I just saw Ben Higgins' sports report Monday evening on Channel 10, Memorial Day. And Ben, I just wanted to help you out here. My nephew, Brock Ungerich, as you well know, is the head coach of USD baseball, who just won their conference championship. It would sure be nice if you pronounced our surname the right way. It is pronounced Ungerich. The T is silent. And if you could correct your mistakes in the future when you mention his name, the family would sure appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much. My phone number is... Again, this is Brock's uncle. Thank you for the report. It was very nice. Looking forward to future telecasts from you and on the radio. Have a good Memorial Day. Thanks. Bye.
Perhaps
I loved it.
Perhaps the smarmiest phone call I think I've ever received in my life, Uncle Gary.
There was one moment in particular where, like, oh, he's being very nice and polite, but he's not happy with you. And it's when he says,
it would sure be nice if you pronounced our surname the right way.
Wow. Ben is committed to accuracy. Committed to it.
I am.
And it is a daunting, I can't tell you guys the amount of times I have to turn the mic off and go, how do I say this guy's name? Like, I've had to look up, you know, pronunciations, try to find old interviews, and I'm telling you, it's sometimes you don't realize it's in a story or something, and you start reading it, and you see it ahead, and you go, I'm dead. I'm about to make a complete ass out of myself live on the radio. But I thought that was so great. What a great story. This story has taken an interesting turn. About a month ago, we saw a post from Kelsey Plum, who plays for the Las Vegas Aces. She's a star in the WNBA.
Saw this post
on Instagram. Do what? Yeah, from San Diego. Says, I'm devastated. I walked through fire for that man, but now I see it's time to go. God has given me an incredible life. So truly grateful for the profound love for my family and friends. One day I'll share my story. Today is not that day. Every day I'll continue to choose joy. Much love, KP. Darren Waller was her husband. They were only married a year. He never responded to any of this. And then yesterday, we all saw this drop online. It was a song that he composed, wrote, performed, and did a video about. So here's a taste of that. It's called Who Knew, in parentheses, Her Perspective.
What's that effect that he uses on
it? It's called auto-tune.
That's auto-tune? Okay, I was wondering if that was auto-tune. If you take time,
you feel the way fall off. Your plans are, go ahead and call off. Tired of your day job. We can go down that dirt road.
like some kids, we can go play hard.
Yeah, it's one of the worst. It's one of the worst songs I've ever heard, I think.
Well, he's not a musical artist. He's a football player,
right? I mean,
it was.
Nailed it. I mean, you said it. That's it.
It was an unintentional self-own, I think, in multiple ways. First of all, it's maybe one of the worst things I've ever heard musically. And then when I was listening to it yesterday when it came out, I was like, I got to hear this because I know this is going to be content in the morning. And I'm listening to the words, and it sounded like he said something along the lines of, like, I just wanted to chill and blah, blah, blah. It sounded like she was too much for him. Her lifestyle, her stardom was a little too much for him, and that just quadruples down on the fact of how bad he fumbled this one.
Yeah, and the video is something else too. You see a replica Kelsey Plum,
a lookalike, you know, that's absolutely intended to be her. Yeah,
correct. Which and is she walks crappy. Up to him, and they're on the beach, and the last scene, Ben, is they hug, but then the camera pans to a knife stabbing him in the back, and he's down on the beach, and the water is rushing up against his face. So. Listen, you know, everybody deals with divorce and things in their own way, certainly, but it's not a great song. The lyrics are not that great either. Who knew that
John
love
wants
could
to know
kill?
who uses auto-tune on an acoustic track?
Yeah, Post Malone does. Yeah. Post Malone does. I think Morgan Wallen does.
Could we do a Ben and Woods like segment like in auto-tune?
Bro, I've got a guitar right here. I could probably whip up the chords to that song in about 3 seconds. But yeah, we can absolutely write and produce our very own Ben and Woods auto tune song. I think it would take us 10 minutes to write a song of that quality.
Yeah,
I mean, half the lyrics is just whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa.
You just need like one line that you just sing and repeat.
Don't
whoa,
do
whoa.
This.
Whoa,
whoa. Time for the Rhonda Report. Get your heads right on a Friday, Friday.
Yeah, we need the tune. Yeah, get your heads right on a Friday, Friday. And we can Paulie can auto-tune it in post-production. And I think we'd be good. I think we'd be good. But yeah, it's a horrendous piece of crap. I'm sorry. I don't, you know. Art is art, I guess, but holy smokes.
All right, finally, just a quick little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
And this was just a tiny moment, but I thought it was very classy and very impressive. So last night, Luka Doncic dominated with 36 points, leading the Dallas Mavericks to the NBA Finals. He was named the Finals MVP, the Western Conference Finals MVP, but after the game, they caught on video as he's walking in the tunnel. He's got his arms around rookie Derek Lively the second, and you can see him like trying to hand the award to Derek Lively, because Derek Lively, first of all, he's had a really rough month. His mom, I guess, passed away about a month ago to cancer, and then you might remember earlier in the series he took that horrible blow to the head, and he was only able to come back for the game yesterday, but he's been contributing, and Luka just wanted to show some appreciation. Like, as he's in the tunnel, he's like trying to hand his award, like, dude, this, get his arm around, get, you know, you deserve this as much as I do for what you've done for the team. And I just thought, a classy moment from an NBA superstar who just led his team to the finals, and it's going to be Dallas, obviously, against Boston starting on June 6th in the NBA Finals. Now, remember, just quickly, Derek Lively. So the reason Dallas has him is because, remember, they tanked last year to miss the play-in tournament to get a better draft pick, and they ended up with Derek Lively in the draft. Actually, it was a trade with Oklahoma City, but they got him using that pick. And now he's helped them to get to the NBA Finals. So,
the finals.
So I guess Mark Cuban gets the last laugh here, that everyone was going, how can you tank your way out of the playoffs? And last year they were basically going, we know we have no shot, so we'd rather have the lottery chance and the pick. And they have parlayed that now into a trip to the NBA Finals this year.
Yeah, they're the underdogs, I would say, against Boston.
Probably, but they're playing really well. I mean, they're playing really well.
It's the most basketball I watched all season was last night. I watched the most of the first half, and watching Luka just torch them for 20 in the first was pretty amazing. Yeah, Cuban sold the team, Benny, didn't he?
He sold part of the team, but I think he still gets to make the decisions and stuff.
Okay,
so.
Got it. Because I saw that last night.
Yeah, and that's Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach Ungrich of the USD Toreros is going to join us from Santa Barbara, getting ready for the huge game today against Oregon. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away. Woods, we've talked about if San Diego sports curses are real or not, and the jury is a little bit out. You're starting to lean more toward curses.
Broke it. Xander broke it. We're good.
Well, I am. Hopefully it is, because I actually have always thought one of the most unusual oddities in San Diego sports is that we've never had a team get to the College World Series.
Yeah.
San Diego State, with all the great teams that they've had, USD, great teams, great local players. I mean, we have powerhouse baseball college in Southern California. And yet, for whatever reason, neither of our teams have ever made that final step to get there. But this might be a team to do it for USD this year. And after our check of traffic, we're going to chat with Toreros head coach Brock Ungrich on a very big day for his team. That is coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us right now is the WCC Coach of the Year. His team won both the regular season title and WCC tournament title, and they are in Santa Barbara today to open the NCAA regional against the University of Oregon in a 2-versus-3 seeded matchup. Coach Brock Ungrich is with us here on 97.3 The Fan, and pretty confident, thanks to Uncle Gary, that I said that correctly, Coach.
Yeah, it's been a couple years. Ben and Woods, thank you guys, man. Fired up to be here with you guys, man. Thanks for making me laugh this morning. I love it. Every morning.
I was just going to ask you, like, I get nervous managing my adult ball team and my kids' T-ball. I get fired up for that. This is these are kids at the end of the day, but you've got them playing so well. What has kind of been the change in philosophy or the impetus to get you guys to where you are today?
Yeah, I think it's just allowing them to be themselves, right, within the parameters of the program, right? Obviously, every program, team, rules, you got to have standards and expectations, but allowing them to be themselves, and they're kids. You said it. They're kids that are in the 20 to 22-year-old bodies. I mean, and to find the fun in playing along with that competitive edge and playing aggressive, man, these guys have just done nothing short of that. And for me as a coach, it's like at this point, it's like stay the heck out of their way and let them be and cheer them on, pat them on the butt, love them, and they've just had an unbelievable year, guys. It's crazy.
This is your second trip to the regionals in three seasons as head coach of the Toreros, trying to get to that next stage, the super regional. Tell me about the matchups here, Oregon from the, I don't know, Pac-12 or Big Ten, one of the two. I'm not sure what they're in yet, but what are you looking at this weekend to try to get through this regional?
Yeah, it's honestly, guys, it's like staying with us. It's like playing our style of baseball. You got to definitely scout the opponent, know what you're going up against, but you don't want to take too much time on focusing on the opposition. And our strengths have been on both sides of the ball. I mean, shoot, our offense and our pitching has been just dominant in the West Coast this year, and Josh Randall will be pitching for us tonight. He was a transfer from Arizona, which I don't know if they're Pac-12 or Big 12 now too, but he was there the last couple of years, and he's been dominant for us on the mound. And 6'4" right-hander, he'll run it up to 96, 97, and then they got a good power arm going against us as well too. So, they're athletic, they're strong, they're physical, but I really like our chances, especially with the strength of our team, and our culture. So it'll be a good match.
It's so funny. It's so funny. We're talking to Coach Ungrich from the USD Toreros, and I was going to ask you this. You mentioned – you always hear about the transfer portal and NIL and college basketball and football. How is it for you guys? Because I know the transfer portal has yielded some nice players for you that you're really, really excited about and have counted on.
100%. I mean, I think that that's been a huge staple of our program. Our local recruiting is awesome, right? We get a lot of local players, Southern California, San Diego. But adding, you know, five transfers a year, if you will, on average, has been huge for us. We get the kid that, you know, hey, at 16, 17 years old, might pick another school. And you know, and we're like, hey, that's fine. No worries. Give us a call if it doesn't work out in a couple years. You know, and they come crawling back, and it's been great for us. And a kid like Josh Randall, a Jacob Christian, who was at nearby Point Loma Nazarene, Saints kid, you know, has been unbelievable for us. 23 homers this year, player of the year in the conference. You know, and then some relievers for us on the back end. Alex Schreier's been awesome out of the bullpen. He's actually a Santa Barbara, portal transfer. So, you know, with that, it's been really helping our program and our team. Who doesn't want to come to San Diego, guys? Come on. Let's go. Let's be honest, right?
Talking to Coach Ungerich here from the USD Truros. I wanted to ask you about Jacob Christian. As you said, I got him from Point Loma Nazarene. Great D2 program. They're in the College World Series this weekend and carry North Carolina on their level. But WCC Player of the Year. Every time I turn on a game, and I, you know, Braden calls a lot of them on your channel, he's always hitting a home run. Every time I, like, tune in, he's going deep. Is this a guy that you expect to go, you know, in the draft coming up here in a couple of months in Major League Baseball? Is he getting a lot of scouts at the games this season?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, and the biggest thing was, you know, can he translate that from what he did last year, which was unbelievable? Your Player of the Year in Division II, the National Player of the Year, 28 home runs. Can he go do it again and then going up another level? And he's proven that, and I mean, this guy has hit some. I didn't see Chris Bryant. I was at Stanford when he was at USD. I didn't see Chris Bryant playing college, but I mean, this guy hit some majestic home runs that the most I've ever seen. You know, I've seen Aaron Judge in college, and I mean, this guy hit some towering home runs, and I'm just like, holy cow, it's impressive. And he'll hit them to right, he'll hit them to left, he'll turn around 96, he'll hit a breaking ball out. To your point, Ben, I mean, it's for me as a coach, I'm like, this is kind of guy, you know, that maybe doesn't come around too often, you know, once a generation. So yeah, he definitely will be getting his name called in a couple months, and he's an athlete too. The guy can play defense. I mean, he can go out and play right field. You can run him out to center field, and you know, so it's not only he doesn't only do it with his bat.
Coach, what is your advice to parents like me who I'm watching my 6-year-old right now. I'm broadcasting from home today. I'm watching him in there taking ground balls and hitting. You know, right here at 7:45 in the morning. He's not going to school today. All he cares about is baseball. Awesome. I love to hear from coaches, and we have so many dads out there that coach. What is your number one piece of advice to any burgeoning coaches like myself?
Well, first off, the invitation's open to come on down to Fowler Park anytime you want, because my son Ben is 5 and we should get the boys together, to be honest.
Oh,
with you. Let's
in
go.
A heartbeat.
Bring them
man,
on down.
Amazing.
Let's go. No, it'd be a blast. Just keep it positive. I mean, I can't tell you enough. You know, we play at Tekeloti, and you know, it's an awesome league, and it gets super competitive. But
it's
talking
super
to parents,
competitive down there.
Super
yeah.
super competitive. And I like to sit there and be a dad and smile and watch, and you just got to remember how hard this game is. This game is so hard. So when we get upset with our kids for missing a ground ball or making a bad throw, just remember we want our kids to keep playing the game a long time. Encourage them, teach them, coach them. I mean, it's the same stuff we're doing with 18 to 22-year-olds. You got to keep teaching them and keep encouraging them to get out there and get better and work at it, you know, and don't blow them up. You know, I mean, that's the last thing you want to do. And then those poor kids run the other way. So I think it's awesome, because I'm sure you're at 7:45 in the morning sitting there pitching yourself like, this is great. He takes the hit.
Yeah.
And yep. keep that going. Keep that momentum going, because you don't want to get to a point. Obviously, you know this, Woody, but you don't want to get to a point where it's like, God, he's 10 years old and he doesn't want to play anymore, you know, and I've seen it a lot, I'll tell you that. So.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Last thing
no
for
doubt.
Me, Coach.
That
yeah, that's awesome. Last thing for me, Coach. You know, we covered, obviously, the Padres a ton, as you hear. And we always have to keep in perspective, such a long season, 162 games, it's a grind. But college baseball is different. You guys play about 50 games, and then you get to the, you know, this point where it's double elimination, and it's totally different. It's almost more like football at this point. How does the mentality change here at the end when you get to, like, postseason elimination matchups?
Well, I think it's keeping it consistent. And that's why, I mean, selfishly, I love college baseball because every game does matter. And, you know, with a 50-game, 56-game season, and you got the playoffs, you can't change, okay, it's the playoffs, so we got to do everything different, you know, and this game means everything. I'll tell you, because, you know, these kids are smart. They know it. They know it means everything. But if you can keep it consistent and consistent with the process day in and day out, and you're going to get them to play normal. You're going to get them to play like they can, right? And I got this from Coach Lav, and I love it. It's like, you just don't want your players to be paralyzed. Don't paralyze your players. You know, let them be free. Play consequence-free. And, again, go out there and have the time of your life and just play aggressive and play hard. So that's kind of our message. And you're right, it is like a football season, but you got to love it, man. You got to love it. You got to love watching college baseball. The passion, right?
Absolutely. USD Torero's Oregon Ducks, noon today, ESPNU, and then Braden will have the call at usdtoreros.com. Coach Ungrich, good luck to your guys. Hopefully get through this weekend, get to a super regional. And finally, let's get over that San Diego curse and get your team to the College World Series this year.
Let's go. You guys go with us. Let's go.
Oh, that would be fun. Omaha, I'd love to do that. Awesome, Coach. Good luck, man. Thank you.
Ben Woods, you're the man. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Brock Ungrich. Head coach of the USD Toreros, and we wish their team the best of luck. And they do have some amazing players. And by the way, Jacob Christian won't be the only one who gets his name called in the draft from the USD Toreros this summer. I'm sure AJ and some of his scouts have spent plenty of time at Fowler Park this season because that team is loaded with talent. All right,
I told you guys I've been to the College World Series back in high school. It was 2007, and it was old Rosenblatt Stadium. My travel ball team, we got to play in a like 12-day tournament in Omaha and Lincoln, all around that area. And so we would play, you know, two games in the morning and afternoon, and then go to the College World Series game at night. And it was one of the most fun experiences of my entire life. Like, the College World Series, extremely underrated sporting event. If you can get out there,
it's cool because, like, the Little League World Series, it's the same spot every year. It doesn't move around like the Final Four. So there's a whole culture in Omaha that surrounds college baseball in particular, and it's like it's hallowed grounds for the teams that make it to the Final Eight. Teams make it to the College World Series every year, so hopefully USD can be one of them.
Yeah, Benny, lay out the path, if you would, quickly.
All right,
for USD.
You're in a four. So there's 64 teams, like the NCAA tournament, kind of. They're grouped into four team regionals with a host school. In USD's case, it's UC Santa Barbara, and then three others. USD's the 2 seed, Oregon's the 3 seed, and I think Fresno State's the 4 seed. So whoever makes it through the four without 2 losses, double elimination, last team standing, then advances to next weekend, where you'll take on one other team in a best-of-three series. That's called the Super Regional. The last 16 teams, they square off, and then those 8 winners advance the following week to the College World Series, where it's a brand-new double elimination tournament in Omaha to crown the final champion.
Gnarly road, yeah, for sure. Gnarly road ahead. Really, I saw some of the other teams that are in the 64. I mean, some true powerhouse programs, Texas and teams like that. It's gonna be awesome, man. Pulling for that guy. I'm over caffeinated this morning, and I know he sounded a little over caffeinated as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he's up early for sure with a big day like this.
Guaranteed.
So if you listened yesterday to Don't Do This, we talked about Jorge Lopez of the New York Mets, the relief pitcher who got ejected, got frustrated, tossed his glove into the stands, was DFA'd by the Mets, had said some comments after the game that was quoted in the media saying, yeah, I play for the worst team in Major League Baseball. Well,
right.
He's come back and with a statement and goes, you know, that was a bit of a language barrier. I was saying I was the worst teammate, not on the worst team in baseball. And Jake Mintz of Cespedes Family Barbecue wrote a really good, interesting piece about that. He's going to make his weekly appearance with us next. We'll talk about that and more coming up after this on 97.3 The Fan. Woods, we've talked about if San Diego sports curses are real or not, and the jury is a little bit out. You're starting to lean more toward curses.
Broke it. Xander broke it. We're good.
Well, I am. Hopefully, it is, because I actually have always thought one of the most unusual oddities in San Diego sports is that we've never had a team get to the College World Series.
Yeah.
San Diego State, with all the great teams that they've had, USD, great teams, great local players. I mean, we have powerhouse baseball college in Southern California. And yet, for whatever reason, neither of our teams have ever made that final step to get there. But this might be a team to do it for USD this year. And after our check of traffic, we're going to chat with Torero's head coach, Brock Ungerich, on a very big day for his team. That is coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us right now is the WCC Coach of the Year. His team won both the regular season title and WCC tournament title, and they are in Santa Barbara today to open the NCAA regional against the University of Oregon in a 2-versus-3 seeded matchup. Coach Brock Ungerich is with us here on 97.3 The Fan, and pretty confident, thanks to Uncle Gary, that I said that correctly, Coach.
Yeah, it's been a couple years. Ben and Woods, thank you guys, man. Fired up to be here with you guys, man. Thanks for making me laugh this morning. I love it. Every morning.
I was just going to ask you, like, I get nervous managing my adult ball team and my kids' T-ball. I get fired up for that. This is these are kids at the end of the day, but you've got them playing so well. What has kind of been the change in philosophy or the impetus to get you guys to where you are today?
Yeah, I think it's just allowing them to be themselves, right, within the parameters of the program, right? Obviously, every program, team, rules, you got to have standards and expectations, but allowing them to be themselves, and they're kids. You said it. They're kids that are in the, 20 to 22-year-old bodies. I mean, and to find the fun in playing along with that competitive edge and playing aggressive, man, these guys have just done nothing, nothing short of that. And for me as a coach, it's like at this point, it's like stay the heck out of their way and let them be and cheer them on, pat them on the butt, love them, and they've just had an unbelievable year, guys. It's crazy.
This is your second trip to the regionals in three seasons as head coach of the Toreros, trying to get to that next stage, the super regional. Tell me about the matchups here, Oregon from the, I don't know, Pac-12 or Big Ten, one of the two. I'm not sure what they're in yet. But, what are you looking at this weekend to try to get through this regional?
Yeah, it's honestly, guys, it's like staying with us. It's like playing our style of baseball. You got to definitely scout the opponent, know what you're going up against. But you don't want to take too much time on focusing on the opposition, And our strengths have been on both sides of the ball. I mean, shoot, our offense and our pitching has been just dominant in the West Coast this year, and Josh Randall will be pitching for us tonight. He was a transfer from Arizona, which I don't know if they're Pac-12 or Big 12 now too, but he was there the last couple of years, and he's been dominant for us on the mound. And 6'4" right-hander, he'll run it up to 96, 97, and then they got a good power arm going against us as well too. So, they're athletic, they're strong, they're physical, but I really like our chances, especially with the strength of our team, and our culture. So it'll be a good match.
It's so funny. It's so funny. We're talking to Coach Ungerich from the USD Toreros, and I was going to ask you this. You mentioned, you always hear about the transfer portal and NIL and college basketball and football. How is it for you guys? Because I know the transfer portal has yielded some nice players for you that you're really, really excited about and have counted on.
100%. I mean, I think that's been a huge staple of our program. Our local recruiting is awesome, right? We get a lot of local players, Southern California, San Diego, but adding, five transfers a year, if you will, on average, has been huge for us. We get the kid that, hey, at 16, 17 years old, might pick another school, and we're like, hey, that's fine, no worries. Give us a call if it doesn't work out in a couple years. And they come crawling back, and it's been great for us. And a kid like Josh Randall, a Jacob Christian, who was at nearby Point Loma Nazarene, Saints kid, has been unbelievable for us. 23 homers this year, player of the year in the conference. And then some relievers for us on the back end. Alex Schreier's been awesome out of the bullpen. He's actually a Santa Barbara portal transfer. So, you know, with that, it's been really helping our program and our team. Who doesn't want to come to San Diego, guys? Come on. Let's go. Let's be honest, right?
Talk to Coach Ungerich here from the USD Truros. I wanted to ask you about Jacob Christian. As you said, I got him from Point Loma Nazarene. Great D2 program. They're in the College World Series this weekend and carry North Carolina on their level. But WCC Player of the Year. Every time I turn on a game, and I, you know, Braden calls a lot of them on your channel, he's always hitting a home run. Every time I, like, tune in, he's going deep. Is this a guy that you expect to go, you know, in the draft coming up here in a couple of months in Major League Baseball? Is he getting a lot of scouts at the games this season?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, and the biggest thing was, you know, can he translate that from what he did last year, which was unbelievable? Your Player of the Year in Division II, the National Player of the Year, 28 home runs. Can he go do it again, and then going up another level? And he's proven that, and I mean, this guy has hit some. I didn't see Chris Bryant. I was at Stanford when he was at USD. I didn't see Chris Bryant playing college, but I mean, this guy hit some majestic home runs that the most I've ever seen. You know, I've seen Aaron Judge in college, and I mean, this guy hit some towering home runs, and I'm just like, holy cow, it's impressive. And he'll hit them to right, he'll hit them to left, he'll turn around 96, he'll hit a breaking ball out. To your point, Ben, I mean, it's for me as a coach, I'm like, this is the kind of guy, you know, that maybe doesn't come around too often, you know, once a generation. So yeah, he definitely will be getting his name called in a couple months, and he's an athlete too. The guy can play defense. I mean, he can go out and play right field. You can run him out to center field, and you know, so it's not only he doesn't only do it with his bat.
Coach, what is your advice to parents like me who I'm watching my 6-year-old right now. I'm broadcasting from home today. I'm watching him in there taking ground balls and hitting. You know, right here at 7:45 in the morning. He's not going to school today. All he cares about is baseball. Awesome. I love to hear from coaches, and we have so many dads out there that coach. What is your number one piece of advice to any burgeoning coaches like myself?
Well, first off, the invitation's open to come on down to Fowler Park anytime you want, because my son Ben is 5 and we should get the boys together, to be honest.
Let's in a go. Heartbeat.
Bring them on down.
Amazing.
Let's go. No, it'd be a blast. Keep it positive. I mean, I can't tell you enough. You know, we play at Tekeloti, and you know, it's an awesome league, and it gets super competitive. But talking
super
to parents,
competitive down there.
Super competitive. And I like to sit there and be a dad and smile and watch, and just got to remember how hard this game is. This game is so hard. So when we get upset with our kids for missing a ground ball or making a bad throw, just remember we want our kids to keep playing the game a long time. Encourage them, teach them, coach them. I mean, it's the same stuff we're doing with 18 to 22 year olds. You got to keep teaching them and keep encouraging them to get out there and get better and work at it, you know, and don't blow them up. You know, I mean, that's the last thing you want to do. And then those poor kids run the other way. So I think it's awesome, because I'm sure you're at 7:45 in the morning sitting there pitching yourself like, this is great. He takes the hit.
Yeah.
And yep. keep that going. Keep that momentum going, because you don't want to get to a point. Obviously, you know this, Woody, but you don't want to get to a point where it's like, yeah, he's 10 years old and he doesn't want to play anymore, you know, and I've seen it a lot, I'll tell you that. So.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Last thing for me, Coach.
That
yeah, that's awesome. Last thing for me, Coach. You know, we cover, obviously, the Padres a ton, as you hear, and we always have to keep in perspective, such a long season, 162 games, it's a grind. But college baseball is different. You guys play about 50 games, and then you get to the, you know, this point where it's double elimination, and it's totally different. It's almost more like football at this point. How does the mentality change here at the end when you get to, like, postseason elimination matchups?
Well, I think it's keeping it consistent. That's why, I mean, selfishly, I love college baseball, because every game does matter. And, you know, with a, you know, 56 game season, and you got the playoffs, you can't change. Okay, it's the playoffs. We got to do everything different. You know, and this game means everything. I'll tell you, because, you know, these kids are smart. They know it. They know it means everything. But if you can keep it consistent and consistent with the process day in and day out, and you're going to get them to play normal. You're going to get them to play like they can, right? And I got this from Coach Lav, and I love it. It's like, you just don't want your players to be paralyzed. Don't paralyze your players. You know, let them be free. Play consequence-free. And, again, go out there and have the time of your life and just play aggressive and play hard. So that's kind of our message. And you're right, it is like a football. season, but you got to love it, man. You got to love it. You got to love watching college baseball. The passion, right?
Absolutely. USD Chereros, Oregon Ducks, noon today, ESPNU, and then Braden will have the call at USDChereros.com. Coach Ungrich, good luck to your guys. Hopefully get through this weekend, get to a super regional, and finally, let's get over that San Diego curse and get your team to the College World Series this year.
Let's go. You guys go with us. Let's go.
Oh, that would be fun. Omaha, I'd love to do that. Awesome, Coach. Good luck, man. Thank you.
Ben Woods, you're the man. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Brock Ungrich, head coach of the USD Toreros, and we wish their team the best of luck. And they do have some amazing players. And by the way, Jacob Christian won't be the only one who gets his name called in the draft from the USD Toreros this summer. I'm sure AJ and some of his scouts have spent plenty of time at Fowler Park this season because that team is loaded with talent. All right,
I told you guys I've been to the College World Series back in high school. It was 2007, and it was old Rosenblatt Stadium. My travel ball team, we got to play in a 12-day tournament in Omaha and Lincoln, all around that area. And so we would play, you know, two games in the morning and afternoon, and then go to the College World Series game at night. And it was one of the most fun experiences of my entire life. Like, the College World Series, extremely underrated sporting event. If you can get out there,
it's cool because, like, the Little League World Series, it's the same spot every year. It doesn't move around like the Final Four. So there's a whole culture in Omaha that surrounds college baseball in particular, and it's like it's hallowed grounds for the teams that make it to the Final Eight. Teams make it to the College World Series every year, so hopefully USD can be one of them.
Yeah, Benny, lay out the path if you would quickly.
All right,
for USD,
you're in a four. So there's 64 teams, like the NCAA tournament, kind of. They're grouped into four team regionals with a host school. In USD's case, it's UC Santa Barbara, and then three others. USD's the 2 seed, Oregon's the 3 seed, and I think Fresno State's the 4 seed. So whoever makes it through the four without 2 losses, double elimination, last team standing, then advances to next weekend, where you'll take on one other team in a best-of-three series. That's called the Super Regional. The last 16 teams, they square off, and then those 8 winners advance the following week to the College World Series, where it's a brand-new double elimination tournament in Omaha to crown the final champion.
Gnarly road, yeah, for sure. Gnarly road ahead. Really, I saw some of the other teams that are in the 64. I mean, some true powerhouse programs, Texas and teams like that. It's gonna be awesome, man. Pulling for that guy. I'm over caffeinated this morning, and I know he sounded a little over caffeinated as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he's up early for sure with a big day like this.
Guaranteed.
So if you listened yesterday to Don't Do This, we talked about Jorge Lopez of the New York Mets, the relief pitcher who got ejected, got frustrated, tossed his glove into the stands, was DFA'd by the Mets, had said some comments after the game that was quoted in the media saying, yeah, I play for the worst team in Major League Baseball. Well,
right.
He's come back with a statement and goes, you know, that was a bit of a language barrier. I was saying I was the worst teammate, not on the worst team in baseball. And Jake Mintz of Cespedes Family Barbecue wrote a really good, interesting piece about that. He's going to make his weekly appearance with us next. We'll talk about that and more coming up after this on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.